This is Northwest News on KNKX. In school, you learn there are three branches of government. But how do those branches interact with each other? That's the question we're looking at in this first installment of our series, Unpacking Government. And as 88.5 Simone Alisea explains, we can start with our own state legislature, which is being held in contempt by Washington's Supreme Court for failing to fund basic education.
When I started out on this project, I did what any young, intrepid reporter might do. I asked my mom.
Hello, my name is Veronica Alisea Galvan,
who also happens to be a judge.
I am a Superior Court judge here in King County.
So let's say I appear before you, God forbid, and something has happened and you have to find me in contempt. What are your options?
Well, you're a little bit too old to put in time out. But what could happen is the judge would find you in contempt and then impose remedial sanctions. Those sanctions are intended to coerce you into complying with the behavior that you're supposed to comply with.
So that's the situation now with Washington's legislature. The court said they were supposed to do something, fund education, and they haven't done it yet. But let's back up to 2011, when the Supreme Court was hearing oral arguments in McCleary versus the state of Washington. Here's Justice Charles Wiggins.
Well, how do you really determine whether the legislature is amply providing for the education of all the children of the state without looking at dollars? I don't understand that.
He's alluding to a section of the state's constitution that says it is the paramount duty of the state to make ample provision for the education of all children. Wiggins' question about how education is funded is the main problem legislators are dealing with today. But the other part of this case is about the tension between two branches of government, the judicial and the legislative. Here's Andrew Siegel, a constitutional law professor at Seattle University.
It involves the judiciary's obligation to ensure remedies for violation of rights, and it involves the legislature's prerogative to make those kinds of political, policy, budgetary decisions.
I'm going to come back to Siegel a little later, but what he's saying is the Supreme Court found in 2012 that the legislature was violating a constitutional right, the right to a basic education. When that decision came down, those branches started a kind of dance. The legislature is trying to keep up. The court is trying not to step on toes. That dance got a lot more elaborate 2 years later.
Court, where people we elected could be held in contempt.
The state Supreme Court has ordered Washington pay $100,000 per day.
Now inside the court this morning, lawyers sparred over whether there should be more sanctions imposed on lawmakers.
These are the steps that made headlines in the McCleary case. The court imposed a 2018 deadline to fully fund education and required regular progress reports from the legislature. In 2014, the court held the state in contempt because lawmakers weren't making good enough progress. A year later, the court imposed sanctions, a $100,000 per day fine. Now, the state can't exactly pay itself, so the court has ordered lawmakers to put the fines in an account that will be used to fund education. But that's not happening. To unpack this quandary, I called the person keeping track of the fines.
My name is Rosalyn Marcus, and I am the Assistant Director for Legal and Legislative Affairs at the Office of Financial Management.
That's the office that basically does the books for the state. By the end of today, the legislature will owe $52.9 million in fines.
Making the accounting may not feel like compliance with the court, but it is ensuring that the state is tracking the amount of money the court has said that we owe.
If you or I failed to pay a court fine, we'd probably see consequences pretty quickly. But because the legislature controls the state's budget, their relationship to the court is different. Remember, the court is trying not to step on legislative toes. Here's Andrew Siegel again, the constitutional law professor.
The court kind of took a medium course. They could have imposed really draconian sanctions, or some courts other states might have imposed them.
One example is 1976 New Jersey, when the state Supreme Court there shut down public schools for 8 days because the legislature failed to raise taxes for education. Siegel says Washington's Supreme Court will almost assuredly ratchet up sanctions if the legislature fails to come up with a plan at the end of this session. The real question is, what will happen if the court doesn't find the plan sufficient?
If the court determines that they've kind of made a good faith effort but failed, then we could be back at this again for a while. If the court determines that this is nowhere close, it's not a good faith effort, then maybe we're in the realm of some significantly harsher sanctions.
There's that dance again, getting faster, with more steps.
This kind of issue, where there is an enforceable individual right that requires budgeting, planning, policy decisions, inherently creates separation of powers problems.
That's because a solution involves the core functions of both branches, who, like tango dancers, resist each other to maintain balance. Simone Alisea, 88.5 News.
That was the first installment of Unpacking Government, our new series exploring how government works. Next week, we'll dive a little deeper into the legislative side of things, with a look at why Washington's legislature is part-time.